Amen. Well, greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be here again, to gather in His name. I'm a little bit scattered this morning, so just bear with me. I have a few thoughts. I've been contemplating the past couple of days on what to share, and it just kept coming back to my mind about how much God cares for us, and so I just wanted to, this morning again, remind us of God's, His care, and how much, how He has so much love and care for us, and but at the same time, He's also a just God. We'll probably be looking at more of His loving care to us today. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 10:26. Break in here at 26 through 33. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground, but without your Father. One of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. The verse that I was kind of looking for there was verse 29 and 30. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I guess I just had, it just kept coming to my mind, and the thought of a sparrow, and we all know how they can be kind of a nuisance, and there's so many of them, and how, like, God has an eye on all those sparrows. There are roughly 150 million sparrows in the world, and that thought just kept coming back to me, and I don't know, it was just amazing. And then sometimes we seem like, especially me, go about our life, and before you know it, you're all kind of running on your, you think you're on your own power, and God, you know, He kind of goes, sometimes He can kind of get put on the back burner, and we kind of forget why we're really here and what God really, how much He really cares for us and what He's really done for us. A couple other thoughts there. There's roughly 65 billion tons of living things, biomass, on the earth. I figure if God keeps track of the sparrows, He probably keeps track of probably about everything else, most all the living things and all the, just everything, all the trees, and I had to think of the languages. There's 6,500 languages in the world, and God knows them all. There are roughly 7.53 billion people in the world. And God has, I believe He cares for each one of them. And I think we as His people should be even more secure in His love and care for us. Let's turn to Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is it not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I know I have room to grow in my life and not taking thought for tomorrow. It's so easy to just take things in your own hands and you worry, and just worry about things and how's this going to turn out and how's that going to go. And you can just rest in God and it always all works out. Another thought I had was I was just thinking of when he was here on this earth, how he spent so much time with the handicapped, and he never passed anyone by, and he always had so much care for especially those that were handicapped. And the passage I wanted to read was John 5:1. Through 17 is about this is the account I had to think of about the 38-year-old guy that spent years at the pool. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man. when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took his bed, and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore the Jews persecute Jesus. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Therefore the Jews sought to kill him more, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. It's just amazing to me how in verse 13, And he was healed, wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. It's just a blessing how he was never there to, he was always disappeared. He was never there to, like, standing there saying, look what I did. And then the Jews, they were always after him, everything he did, and they were always wanting to kill him. I had to think of the children of Israel, how many times God was faithful to lead them out of Egypt. And they'd come to this obstacle and they'd lose faith, and God would lead them through that. And then they'd come to the next one and they'd be murmuring again. And so, that's probably me sometimes. Another one I had to think of was King Nebuchadnezzar, and I have quite a few scriptures here. I don't know that I'm going to read it all. I'm just going to go through here and read a little bit about King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel, you don't have to turn there if you don't want, but Daniel 2:46 through 49. Then the king fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded. This was after Daniel had interpreted his first dream. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords and revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And then in Daniel 3:8, this is after Daniel had interpreted No, actually, this was, it was amazing to me how, what all the king said about Daniel's God. The king answered, of a truth, that your God is a God of gods. And next thing you know, he's building his own statue, just like his dream said. Daniel 3:8, wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall... This was when they were worshiping, they were all supposed to bow down. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth down and worship, whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he shall be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men forth to the king. Nebuchadnezzar, there, 14, he talked to him. And then, in verse 3:19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them in the burning fiery furnace. These men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto him, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like in the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, and kings' counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was any an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake, this is verse 1, then Nebuchadnezzar spake, said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve or worship any other god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So there is a second time that he makes this decree and that about worshiping God and no one else. If you worship anyone else, and then it happens again, and he has a dream, and we all know how that goes. He got turned into an animal for how many days? For like, I think it was 7 years. And then after After then Nebuchadnezzar's son Belshazzar took over, and he brought back all the idols and had a great feast. And he repeated the same thing. There was handwriting on the wall in Daniel 5:5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed. His knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astounded. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let thy thoughts not trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods of Nebuchadnezzar thy father. The king, I say, thy father, made master of magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then Daniel was come forth and interpreted. Interpreted the dream, and it wasn't a good interpretation. And we all know how that goes. The kingdom was divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And commanded Belshazzar that, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that night Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, and Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. It's just an example of how hard we can be sometimes, how hard our heart can be, and God keeps prompting us, and we just never want to get away from God, and let's obey His promptings so our heart don't get hard. I won't even touch the iceberg, I don't think, of how much God really cares for us. In closing, I have a poem I found that I thought fit pretty good. It's called The Father's Love Story, or the Father's Love Letter is what it is. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am a complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more on your earth than your earthly father ever could. For I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider, and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an understanding love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sands of the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and my soul. I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything that I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will separate you from my love. I have always been your father and will always be your father. My question is, will you be your child? Will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your almighty dad. Thank you for listening.